Okay, look back in the Gemara where we were on Daf Beis Amud. Beis Amud Beis. Now, this whole Indian about the Yom HaKnisa, that the Bnei HaKfarim, the outlying villagers, could lane the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, the preceding Monday or Thursday, that was in the old days. But Bizman HaZeh, this no longer applies. Halacha LaMaisa, this halacha no longer applies. Even though I was teaching on Monday night, I thought of you all. You know the way things all connect. I was teaching Monday night at Beit Agnon. Agnon has a modern story called Sipur Pashut. Anybody ever maybe read it?
I've heard of it.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. We haven't read it. Not the story.
It's terrible that no one's ever read it. It's a wonderful novel and a fine
nice
translation. And the story is set in 1905, 1906. And in Buchach, Agnon's town, which was a rather large town, about, I don't know, 12, 14, 15,000 people, 60% Jewish, there are outlying villages. And the outlying villagers come into town on Monday and Thursday, and they bring their eggs and they bring their chickens and all of the other things. So this idea of the Yom HaKnisa was still in effect for millennia. But the halakha that the villagers would lane on those preceding days was already cancelled out in the times of the Talmud.
I don't even know that. You said like when you saw Shurim Bar Matan and but if we also said that in order for this idea from the earlier days to have tokef, it would have to have been in the Megillah. It would have to be in the Megillah itself. So in the times of the Megillah, there weren't Shurim Bar Matan.
That's true.
They initially said that we had this thing on the circumstance of being Galut. They weren't Galut when they were in the first place.
I mean, it's interesting because the Gemara seems to be of the opinion. It's a simple
principle. I know.
It's an interesting question about unpacking the historical components of the Gemara here. You point out the true fact. The Gemara was of the opinion that the 11th, 12th, and 13th was already built into the original Takana of Purim of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. You can answer it by saying, Enochinami, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah invented the idea of the 11th, 12th, and 13th, even at a time when there was Galut. But there was still Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. But it could be that Enochinami. But it could be. This is what we're going to get into tonight. But it could be that they made this takana even at a time of Galut. And then when we went back to Eretz Yisrael, and then another Galut was faced, whatever it is, whether it's Galut or the end of Malchut Yisrael or problems with the calendar or. So then. Then they said, okay, now it's time to stop. Even though there was a historical period when Galut and the Yom HaKnisa did coincide.
But could we start doing it again if the conditions reoccur?
Well, no, because of the general problem that we never change anything. Because of the problem of
general
mind
problem. But we're not mevatel. If they said in these circumstances you can.
Right.
We don't have any circumstances we can't, but if the circumstances reoccur.
You already changed it from the original. Now you're telling me you can't change something, but you already changed something.
No, Chazal changed it. But it's true. It's true that in theory, although the need for it is less than it used to be. In other words, the whole need, there's manavshach. Either it's because we need them to come, we don't want to interrupt their schedule because we need them to come and bring the water and the chickens and the eggs. Well, that's no law, we don't live in an economy like that. Or it's because they don't know how to lane and they won't have poor. And we don't want to live in a world like
that. The biggest proof is. And we've managed for like 2,000 years to get by without it. And everyone managed to do that. So like, it's not like we really need this.
Either they did or they didn't. But.
People living in far off places.
But those far out places wouldn't have. In other words, all those years behind the Iron Curtain when Yidden couldn't hear the Megillah, who would have allowed them to read it on the preceding Thursday, they still wouldn't have been able to hear it. Right? You know the story about Am Yisrael Chai? Karlbach. I heard this with my own two ears, Mipi Kadsho. In the 60s, Karlbach was in London for something. And on a whim, he snuck into Prague for Purim. You know, you couldn't go without a visa, and you couldn't, a Jew just couldn't show up on there in Curtin with like fill-in and a Megillah and whatever. And he snuck into Prague, Echshu. He like sweet-talked the guys at the border, and he shows up in Prague, and you know, like it's amazing. Like in the days, I was just telling this to somebody. When I used to come to Israel for the summers. Karlbach died, I came in Aliyah in June, and Karlbach died that October. But I had used to come to Israel for the summers for many years beforehand. I ran the NCSY summer programs and things like that. And Karlbach used to hang out in Yakar, in Yerushalayim. And there'd be these things, and you'd find
it.
What is it?
Your name is on it.
What is it? Oh my goodness. This was my last year. This was the year I got married.
Is Gemara historical?
Well, that's really funny. That's really funny because you know what I have here? I have the. But you were in my year.
I was in my day.
Are you in Madrid? So I have here in the back of my Gemara the class list from Masechet Megillah, which I taught that summer, 1996. I wonder where all these guys are. Yeah. Well. Anyway, Karlbach sneaks into Prague for so I used to come for the summers, and you would just hear. Tonight, Karlbach's going to be jamming in somebody's house. This is before Facebook and WhatsApp, and it was just like, you know, if you couldn't get messages to people. It was before cell phones. Like, you'd have to go to Richie's Pizza to see if somebody left you a note.
They put on the board.
So you'd hear from somebody, tonight, Karlbach is going to be at so-and-so's house, and you go and you'd hang out, and there'd be like a million people. It'd be like packed in. Like, you know, it's like a billion people. It's like August. There's no air conditioning. Karlbach walks in, he says, "Ah, the smell of Yidden. They even smell holy." So he tells a story that he gets to Prague, and just Echshu, in the underground, they let everybody know that this rabbi had come, and he brought a Megillah, and he's going to be laying a Megillah. And he said he laid the Megillah, and then he gave a concert. He sang all night, and he said, but he was singing songs. None of them could speak Hebrew. None of them knew the words to the songs. So on the spot, he wrote the song, Am Yisrael Chai, because it's an easy song. It's three words. Am Yisrael Chai, Od Avinu Chai. He said, we sang that song. It was the only song in Hebrew that they knew, because he wrote it right then. Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Od Avinu Chai. And he taught it to the man. He said, we sang it all night long. It was the only song they sang. And Alos Shachar, we all davened. It was his parents' tefillin that he brought. He said, we all put on my tefillin. The men, the women, everybody put on his tefillin. So anyway, the point is that we would have let... you couldn't read the Megillah in these places, but reinstituting the Takana wouldn't help.
No, but I wasn't thinking of where it was forbidden. I was thinking of where we're a Jew who happened to live in a small farming settlement 100 miles from the nearest.
I don't know. These villages weren't 100 miles away. It could be that there were. But in almost every case, these kfarim we're talking about were all misupach to a town, to a city, to a larger region. And it had to be economically. Not just because you needed occasional access to a large town for religious purposes. Your wife had to get to the mikveh. And how far away was it from a town that had a synagogue with minyanim three times a day?
maybe it was 40. It was older than that.
No, but in any case.
No, but the point is that.
You're
no, but,
your words, you're not,
you're but economically, the, forget for religious yeah. for religious needs. Economically, even for the Goyisha, even for the Ukrainian villagers, you needed to be within a 2-hour wagon ride of the city for economic purposes so you could trade whatever it is that you were.
Can you go to Sunday? Can you go to Sunday instead of Monday?
So the Gemara says that the takana of the Yom HaKnisa of laning early on the 11th, 12th, or 13th became botel. Bizman hazeh. Why? So the Gemara says, we're on the top of Beis Amud Beis. Wait a second. No, I'm sorry, the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. Three lines from the bottom. Remember, the Gemara says that this Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but the opinion of the Chachamim is that Chachamim amru bizmana ze hoil mistaklin ba ein korin ota ela bizmana. That nowadays, since everybody's mistaklin, everybody looks to Purim, whatever that means, you can't lane early because of this problem. Now, Rashi explains hoil mistaklin ba. What does Rashi say? People count on the date of Purim to determine when Pesach is. And these ignorant villagers, if we let them lane the 11th, they will make Pesach on the 11th of Nisan. And this is obviously a problem. So according to Rashi, that's why there's a problem. That's why there's a problem. And from the time that Shanim Katikunan v'Yisrael Ad Matan, there was enough pikuach that this mistake wouldn't happen. But once, whatever this time...
It was also the fact that they couldn't rely on it because you didn't know whether Adar was going to have 30 days. They couldn't count 30 days.
So that's one possible understanding of it, that even the villagers knew that we don't live in a time of a fixed calendar. So whenever Purim is, we don't know when Pesach is going to be. Because Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah could be Adar Aleph 29 days, could be Adar Aleph 30 days. So in all cases, you need to be updated on what the calendar is. Possible. But look on this little page here. Here's the Mishnah about Megillah Nikreis Bechad Asar Shneim Asar Shlosh Asar V'chulei. And that the villagers could lane on the Yom HaKnisa, the assembly day prior. There's the next one. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says the following. Yom HaKnisa. Hu Yom Sheni V'Yom Chamishi L'fi Sh'an She'akfarim Mitkabtzin Bahem L'shmo HaSefer Torah. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos already goes against the Rashi that we saw. Rashi said, not that it makes a difference, I mean, there's no nafka mina lahalocha. But Rashi said, what's the point of the Yom HaKnisa? No. Rashi says Ezra made it because of the Batei Din. Right? In other words, a lot of things happened on Monday and Thursdays. Right? You know, like, you get a lot of business done when you get everyone together. The Batei Din would sit, which was convenient because people would come to town and that would be a day that they'd be able to have access to a Beis Din if they had need of it. It was the market day. They would bring their wares, which kept the town going because they needed to buy. It's coming up. I mentioned it. Gave the Ainara. We're going to have it again. It'll be a Friday with snow. We won't have challahs. We won't have newspapers. And also there's Kriyas HaTorah. So again, it's like a chicken and an egg. In other words, there's Kriyas HaTorah on that day because those are the days that people were coming and we needed to work out a schedule that 3 days wouldn't pass without Kriyas HaTorah. So is it that they came on those days because there was Kriyas HaTorah, or is it that Kriyas HaTorah was made on those days because they were coming? Historically, which do you think it was? Yeah. But presumably the villagers that came for market day were not only Jews. There were also Goyim that were coming too. But the Rambam says it was because of Kriyas HaTorah. Vasur lekrot et Megillah b'Shabbat v'atam kimo shebiyarna b'shofar v'lulav. That's not relevant to our point right now. V'kriyata b'yamim shonim lo haya ela b'zman shiyadenu tkefa. And this idea of making the Megillah early, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, that was only in the times when
sovereignty.
Jews had power. What?
Sovereignty.
We had Jewish sovereignty. V'yesh lanu yecholet lachof al kiyum hamitzvot b'shleimut. And that, David's word, is sovereignty. But that power allowed us to make sure what? We had a mashkiach. Just like you have a mashkiach that makes sure you keep kosher, and make a mashkiach that checked your tzitzis and made sure that you're laying the Megillah on the proper day and everything else. Aval bizman hazeh, when oy gevalt, not everybody does the mitzvahs. Some because they rebel and some because they're ignorant. Bizman hazeh klomar, mizman shenitchaber ha-Talmud. What's interesting about that?
Well, that's many hundreds of years after.
It's quite a while after.
Rabbi Yehuda.
It's what I'm saying?
It's after Rabbi Yehuda.
It's after Rabbi Yehuda, right?
Way after.
Ad shiavo hamashiach bimheira. Ah, so there's the answer to your question. According to the Rambam, ad bias hamashiach, there's no discussion of bringing this takana back. That element of ad shabias hamashiach is not present in the Gemara. B'meira, ein korinota ela bizmana, the 14th and the 15th. Kemoshe biarno. Nikuda sof pasuk. I have not. That's the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, the work of his youth. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes, "Bamad dvarim amurim." After explaining the whole concept of the Yom HaKnisa of laning early. B'mad dvarim amurim shemakdimim v'korin b'yom haknisa b'zman sheyesh lehem Yisrael malchut. He's changed his mind in the intervening. How many was it? 20?
Why? He said something to you before. He said something to you before.
No. Before he said Yadeinu tkefa.
Well, why is that not malchut?
Sovereignty.
Okay.
No, because the Rambam, for example, in his description of all these different malachim that are come, and you know they're counted as malachim, but they're not necessarily
So, what about in the year 400? The year 400 was
they had an Asi. They had the Exilar, whatever. So that was the if you could enforce the rules, according to Rambam, that's malchut.
Okay.
I mean, we learn a lot of things about the halachot of Midrash as well from the Rambam's idea of malchut.
Okay, I accept that. About bizmana ze en korinota ela bizmana shu yom arba'asar v'chamishasar. Now the Or Sameach here on this Rambam says, "Biushalmi." Parich uMordechai veEsther matkinan al ma sheEzra atid l'taken. Wait a second. Who made up this whole thing of Sheni v'Chamishi? Ezra. Who came first, Mordechai veEsther or Ezra?
Well, that's
the Yushalmi says it's Mordechai veEsther.
Most, I think, generally assume that Mordechai Esther came after Ezra.
But not the Yerushalmi. Mordechai Esther metaknin al ma she'ezra atid letaken. Shani mish sheseder ha-mishna samcha le-mikra mishpacha u-mishpacha, aval ikar ha-takana haita klalit she'od zmanim ika le-kriyat Megillah. In other words, maybe the Takana, maybe it's not like what we assumed. That the Takana was, that whole Mishnah, the whole first shiur we had 4 weeks ago, that was the original Takana, that chart with the days and the... No. Maybe the original Takana was that the 14th and the 15th are the main days of Purim. But in principle, we can work out a way for the inconvenienced villagers to lane earlier. But the set schedule of looking on that chart of whatever it was, 7.5 different calendric possibilities, maybe that'll get worked out in the future. So this resolves your initial question. of wait a second, initially the idea of after Malchut or after we're in charge, but beforehand it wasn't, so maybe beforehand it wasn't exactly like this. Maybe what was mitukan in the original Takana was the possibility of working out some kind of, not a loophole, the wrong word. What?
A back door?
Yeah, leaving in a back door for a future possibility. And that's what was mitukan in the beginning by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that there'd be flexibility for villagers who will work it out. And along comes the schedule that Mondays and Thursdays become market day, Mondays and Thursdays become Kriyat HaTorah or Betin day, and then we'll work it out that whatever the previous Monday
is. It doesn't fit so well with the Torah.
No, it doesn't.
No, in the sense that they're trying to figure out, like, learn from the Sukkim itself and the Megillah for why those things are
the case. Right, but we'd have to learn the Yerushalmi, which I must confess I have not done in preparation of today's shiur. Maybe it works out over there. V'lachein ati shopir mad meshane bavli v'asiri lo takinu rabbanan. On Daf Dalet, the Gemara is going to talk about the 11th, 12th, and 13th are Purim, but the 10th is not. My teruts. That's kanagam asiri. So wait, so according to this Havamin in the Yerushalmi, that what was mitukan was the idea that in principle we can be flexible. So why only 11th, 12th, and 13th? Now, the 11th and 12th and 13th get boxed into by the math of how the calendar falls out. All the possibilities of where the calendar falls out. The 10th, there's never a 10th which is a preceding Monday or Thursday that's closest to the 14th. So it only comes out the 11th, 12th, and 13th. But according to the Yerushalmi, the idea is just we put in an asterisk in the beginning that in the future, if we need to be flexible and add extra days, so then in Achinami, why not add the 10th? Ela kevan de Mordechai ve'Esther lo kuvnu laze, ela natnu zmanim od kishiyitzdarech. But they just kind of built in the idea that in the future, if you should need extra days, we can talk about that. Lo taknu rak shnei yamim kodim. Shnei yamim kodim. Wait a second. Which shnei yamim kodim? That's the Gemara we learned last week. You get two extra days. It happens that the two extra days are not the immediately two preceding days. It's the not the 12th and 13th. If I told you, you get an extra 2 days of Purim. First of all, you'd say, hold on a second, we already have 2 days of Purim as it is if you live here.
Like, now, here you have, sign up for that.
We get a whole month of Purim. But you get two extra days of Purim, and it can't be there's a posuk that says the lo ya'avor. So it can't be past the 15th. So which 2 days would it be? What's most logical?
12th and 13th.
Ah, but it's not because of the limud about the 13th, so then it's 11th and the 12th and the 13th gets included. V'yitachin lo markein mishum da amru perek kama da avodah zarah de ideihen shel habavlim have v'yud be'adar v'lachin lo ratzu letaken lekro et ha-megillah b'yud be'adar de have mimei ideihen de'bavlim. In Bavel, you know what the tenth was? It was Christmas, it was Easter, it was, I don't know, Phil. What? No, they went by, they also had a lunar calendar. We went by their lunar calendar.
We went by theirs when they were by ours.
Right? So apparently that day, the 10th, Enochinami, the Yerushalmi is saying, unlike the Bavli, Yerushalmi is saying, Enochinami, the original Takana might have just been, we build in the possibility of flexibility, which in theory would have made room for the 10th. The reason we don't read on the 10th, according to the Bavli, is what? What? No, because the way the calendar works out, there's never a possibility for the 10th to be on. Right. But according to the Yerushalmi, it's an irony. The Yerushalmi here purports to know more about what goes on in Bavel than the Bavli is talking about.
It's not that ironic. It sort of makes sense. You know, Bavli's not going to say we're making our things because of some, you know.
Okay, that's okay. So the Yerushalmi saying, the 10th was already, you know, like you're making a bar mitzvah, you're making a wedding, you know, so you call up the, you know, you want to have it on this date at Ramat Rachel, you call up and they say, sorry, it's already booked, right? The Schwartz is already making a chasana that night. So in theory, the 10th could have been Purim. Elama. It was a Goyish Yom Tov. And we have a general principle that on the Goyish Yom Tovim, we don't get involved.
Why would there have been a Havamin of going to the 10th anyway? For what reason?
So what do you need the 11th for?
They just said you can go.
Right? We're going to build an extra. We're going to give you flexibility.
Right? It's also reasonable. So within reason, meaning you could say.
But so within reason. So why is so 4 days not reasonable, but 3 days is?
You have to pick something.
Say it, but in other words, once you say three extra days is reasonable, so then you can say four. But at a certain point, whatever the deadline is, if I say, look, this is the way it works with my kids. My kids say, can we have a cookie? And I say, you can each have two cookies. So they start, no. She says, can I have two cookies? And I say, you can have one cookie. She says, three cookies. Right? She doesn't know how a negotiations work. So the point is that, in other words, if she says
she
two...
She knows how negotiations work.
If she says two and I say one, there's no havamina of five. Right? So as if we say three, so the question becomes, why three and not four? The question isn't why three and not ten. Right? The point is that we drew a line of demarcation between three and four. When we say why three and not four, what we're asking is...
I understand, but it could be arbitrary.
It could be arbitrary.
Well, no, but, what you're talking about is a hypothetical, a kind of factual, where if the Bavlim didn't have that hug, then how far would they gone? We don't know.
Within three days, there's a chance.
They might get a week. I mean, we don't know because they had the hug.
When you were adjusting it, what was the reason you were adjusting it? For what reason? The Taikana gave you the possibility of adding extra days before. What was the reason behind it? I mean, why would you do it? I don't like the weather today. Whenever we get back to the original reason of the Monday and Thursday.
No, because the Monday and Thursday hadn't happened yet.
It hadn't happened yet.
What if the Jews were living in a country where market days were on Tuesdays and Fridays? Then you would have to, it might have made the whole thing different. Nezra hadn't come up with it yet.
Presumably there were, the idea of fixed market days on Mondays and Thursdays, which I think was actually quite widespread in Europe, I don't assume that was true elsewhere. I presume that in Islamic cultures, where Friday is the day of rest and not Sunday, that probably changed the whole feel of the week. I presume.
I mean, a lot of cultures don't even have the 7 day week. I mean, that's also not your assumption. That we have.
Who doesn't have a 7 day week?
Well, now one does, but it wasn't universal.
In Soviet Russia, in the early years of the Soviet Union, they changed to a 10-day week.
They tried to. But I mean, the original was 7.
Right. No. But there were.
There were cultures that did not have
7 days.
It's not a natural thing like a month.
There were also cultures that did not have the concept of a week. A week is a completely artificial construct. It does not correspond to anything in observable nature. A day corresponds to sunrise, sunset. A month to the moon. A year to the seasons. A week is a.
It's amazing that we impact the world.
So that's why I'm asking: was there really a culture?
There were. In that book that I've quoted, when we've talked about time, when we learned brachot a long time ago, I'm racking my mind as I'm talking for the name of the book, and we talked about shaot zmaniot and the origins of clock time, and the idea that I can say it's 9:03, and each of you on your phone and on your watch, if your watch is time to your phone, know that it is exactly 9:03. That is a modern invention. The idea of universal time, that it had to do with the advent of the trains, because trains had to run on unified schedules. It used to be what?
With navigation.
No, that was also connected to trying to plot the lines of longitude. Latitude you determine based upon the sun. Longitude you needed to be able to have some kind of measurement. There's that fabulous book by what's her name called Longitude. But it used to be that each town kept its own time. They would look to see when high noon was. They would set the church bell clock. And if I said, I'll meet you at the saloon at 1 o'clock, it was according to whatever the local time was, 1 o'clock, based upon this, that whatever the bell tower, the church tower in our town was. But that was not exactly identical to noon in a city that was 100 miles west or east of you, because wherever you move within one time zone, it changes. Just the Gemara was aware. The Gemara was aware that Shabbos comes in and goes out at different times in Tveria than it does in Tzipori, which is a pretty relatively close as the crow flies, because they were aware that the earth is round, not like the rumors of what you may have heard about Columbus. They were aware that the earth is round, that the sun rises and sunsets, visible to where you are on the planet, and that changes the Zmanim. How do we get onto this topic?
Whether they had weeks in...
Weeks. Right, so presumably... Look now in the run, on the pages of the Rif. Aleph Omer Beis in the back of the Gemara. If you don't have it, if you don't have what I call the big boy Gemara, you can look. Right, so
it looks like it.
Right, so here I made a few Xeroxes, but you'll have to share. You don't have it.
You're not in there.
No. In the back of the in the back of the Gemara, is there a Gemara over there? Is there a Gemara? Over there? Okay. Now you know how the back of the Gemara works, right? This is what looks like the Gemara. Should we review this? Yeah. Yes? What looks like the Gemara in the middle is the Rif. The Rif of Yitzchak Alfasi, condensed in a kind of reader's digest of the Gemara, with essentially highlighting the halacha lemaaseh. Kind of filtering out all the shaklavatari, all the back and forth. Around the side, where Tosfot usually is, that's the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, who wrote a commentary on the Rif. At the bottom, you have three important commentaries. You have the Ma'or HaKatan, the Baal HaMa'or of Rav Zrachia HaLevi, who wrote a rather critical commentary on the Rif.
We don't have a bottom.
And well, you don't have that. Yes, yeah, so we're on Omer Beis, right? The Baal HaMor, the Ma'or HaKatan, the Baal HaMor, as he's called, was Zrachia HaLevi, who was a Provençal Rishon, who lived in the 12th century. He wrote a rather harsh commentary on the Rif, and the Rif was defended against the attacks of the Baal HaMor by the Milchemet Hashem, which was the Ramban, and the Ravid. There at the bottom. Usually we know the Ravid from his commentary on the Rambam, but here this is another one of his great works, is the commentary on the commentary defending the Rif against the Baal HaMor. So look, let's look around it, and then you also, the Gemara reprints Rashi here. The publishers, the printers, reprint the Rashis here, but they're not exactly the same Rashis that we have, because a lot of the Gemara has been excised in the Rif. So these are the Rashis on the relevant portions of the Rif. Okay, you got it. So look at the Rif. And we'll see that most of them offer an alternative read to the Gemara. You see, in the Rif, about seven lines down, the first word on the line is Barchana. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Zud Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta'o. The Dorish Zman Zmanim Zmanim V'chulei V'chulei V'omrim B'zman Hazeh Ho'ilu Mistaklin Bo Ein Korinota Ela B'zmana. Like our Gemara. Ho'il ve'einehem shel ani'im nisu'ot le'mikra megillah. A very different reason. Why can't they lane the Megillah early? Because the ani'im, what's the ikar of Purim? The ani'im get the matanot levyonim. K'dei she'yachalek lahem me'ot Purim. Ein korinota ela bizmana. When they laned early, when they lay in the Megillah early, what was that day for them? The villagers. It was the Yom Kriyat HaMegillah. I mean, if you wanted to have a little Glenfiddich with your Mikra Megillah, Vakasha. But it wasn't Purim.
No, even worse, that's just what it was for the Kfarim. What it was for the Bnei Yair. For the Bnei Yair was nothing.
For the Bnei Yair is really nothing.
And they were reading. But they didn't have anything. It was like right? Doing a favorite reading for them. That was it.
The Yeshe Gorsin Ho'il Umistaknin Ba. In other words, so why can't Elaine early? Because what would happen? The Aniim would come, the B'nai Kfarin would come to town, they'd hear the Megillah, and they had in their head this association. You know, like, it's like Pavlov's dog. You hear the Megillah and you get into the mood for Humantashen. You hear Al Anisim, you get in the mood for you're always in the mood for scotch. except for Tisha B'Av. Every yontif you think of scotch. So you hear the Megillah, you hear the Al Anisim, you get in the mood for Sufganiya. You go hear the Megillah, you're expecting, oh, and I'm also going to get my Purim gelt. And what would happen? They wouldn't get it. Then the Rif gives a whole nother explanation.
But why is this different than, like, what happened? Why would that be different when the Takana was enforced?
So give me a suggestion. Mm-hmm. The Nosa Kalim are going to deal with exactly your question.
But the Aniim were in the cities or in the Kibarim? Maybe at some point. Meaning, if they were in the cities, it wouldn't matter, right?
Because it's not important for them anyway.
They're still going to be reading on the regular day, and they'll get there, whatever they need. Maybe at some point the Kfarim, even though you think it more rural, they were the farmers, they weren't necessarily the Aniim. The poor people lived in the more of the urban centers. So if you read it early for the farmers, there wouldn't have been a problem of the Aniim not getting.
Not sure if that's true.
I'm not sure if it's true.
I don't know. Now, presumably we're talking about the villagers who are suffering this kind of gap of anticipating the tzedakah on that day and not getting it. And presumably they were poor villagers just like they were poor townsmen. So that's the problem. So all the years of the Takana this was true. So something must have happened that suddenly this became much more oppressive. What might have happened that this became more oppressive? Such as galut, whatever it was. There was a certain, but they're always aniim. But it's a question of rov and miut, or a certain percentage after which it becomes so unbearable that Simchas Purim for these people is turning into avelos because they're hungry, that we do away with the takana. There's also a possibility that, you know, we say halacha lamaisa, and this is relevant for us. On our Purim, we celebrate on Yud Dalet. But your parents live in Yerushalayim, so you go to Yerushalayim. They live in Ramot, so bechlal it's a shaila. But let's say in Ramot it really is you keep on Shushan Purim. So you go to Purim you go to Shushan Purim to see your parents on your Purim. And you bring them shlach minis, are you yotze? It's not Purim for you. You go to Yerushalayim on your Purim, and we go on the 14th, and there's, you know, it's Yerushalayim gewalt. I mean, there's a beggar on every street, and you give that fellow money. Now, certain tzedakah, but were you yotze the din derabbanan of matanot levyonim? Because for this person, it's not Purim.
I happened to have asked, and the answer I got was no.
So Lamaisa, we say you shouldn't do it. It's Machlokas, Chronim. But Lamaisa, we say you shouldn't, I mean, or at least you should be Yotze. If you want to bring Shlach Manos to your parents, you should at least have been Yotze by bringing them to me in the morning. First, I'll help you out. I'll take your Shlach Manos.
And then you'll pay something on.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I don't need your Matanos Levyonim, but you should be Yotze with somebody for whom it's Purim on that day, and vice versa for the Yerushalmim, for the Bnei Shushan, to be Yotze with somebody of the opposite flavor. But here, what was the case?
If you're going to remote on, are you going to Yerushalayim?
You're from Ephraim. You go no on our Purim. On our Purim, we go to Yerushalayim. If you should give shlach manos and matanot levyonim to people for whom it's Purim for them on that day, right? Bidieved, you can't find anyone else. You know, you're looking around. You can't find. You know, sometimes it's.
I can see the other way might actually be easier to justify. A Yerushalmi comes to Ephraim to give it. It gives him your dalet. I can see that being a little bit more, because they could.
But he doesn't have a chovah. He doesn't have any chovah.
He has no chovah bechlal.
No mitzvah necessary.
So guys from Matan are going. We shouldn't give him that.
No, but what about Yerushalmi?
Ask him where
he
is.
No, if you have a Yerushalmi, finds himself in New York, I'm poor. And there's no way he's going to get back on the Shvayim.
Then he's Chayev on Yudal.
Then he's Chayev Yudal. It doesn't matter.
Having Yerushalayim in
Yudal. He saw me to find himself in a Flatapur.
No. This is you're talking about a different sugya. You're talking about a different sugya. Ben Krach Shalach Le'iru, Ben Yer Shalach Le'krach. There's a different sugya. In other words, having a Yerushalayim address in your Tudat Zehut has nothing to do with when you celebrate Purim. It has to do with where you wake up on Purim morning. Right? If you're a Yerushalmi and you go to New York for Purim, you celebrate on Yud Dalit along with everyone else. And vice versa.
I wake up Purim morning. No, but I'm going to be here all day.
So then you celebrate on Yud Dalit. I'm talking about somebody, he celebrates here. He's going to hear the Megillah at night here. He's going to wake up in the morning here. He's going to come to Shul here and hear the Megillah. And then he's going to get in his car and drive to Yerushalayim on Yud Dalit. And have it. No, on Yud Dalit you have to have a Suda, right? You can have your Suda in Yerushalayim. Right? You can have your Suda in Yerushalayim. You don't have to be in Efrat to have your Suda.
But then people who are coming to your Suda, if they live in Yerushalayim,
it's for them. It's a lovely meal. It is not a Sudat Purim because
it's a Thanksgiving.
It's like Thanksgiving.
You do which mitzvah?
You do the mitzvah. You fulfill the mitzvah Sudat Purim.
If on Yud Dalit here in Efrat you're having your Sudat Purim and you have friends from Yerushalayim that come to see you and they wash and they eat and they get drunk along with you, for you it's Sudat Purim. For them
it's a good meal.
Wait, you drove to
and if you went the next day, it's the same thing.
No, if you went
on your Purim, you went to Yerushalayim for Sudat Purim. Yeah, it's so nothing. You can have your suit in Yerushalayim. You don't have to be in Efrat to have your suit.
If you're a mishlachot, what are the difference between the Sudat Purim and Mishlachot?
There's three different chiyuvim. No, one is Matanot Levyonim. There's Kriyas HaMegillah. There's Matanot Levyonim.
Okay.
There's Mishloach Manot. And right. There's Chiyuv Sudat Purim.
So why, if I give a Matanah, I'm filling the mitzvah of Matanah.
No.
If you're celebrating your Sudat,
that the Megillah, you could read the Megillah in Yerushalayim and Beyotze. So Megillah and Suda you could do in either place. But Matanot Levanim and Mishloach Manot you have to do according to where the... Because you have a person receiving it.
You could do it. The person, it doesn't matter where you... It has to be...
It doesn't matter where it is.
If I am Chayav to celebrate on the 14th, because I slept here on the 14th, I woke up on the 14th, there's the Megillah here on the 14th, I drive to Yerushalayim. And I plan to drive to Yerushalayim to say hello and to come back and have Purim Suda and do my Matanot Levyonim and my Mishloach Manot. And my car breaks down, I get stuck in Yerushalayim. And I find somebody else from Efrat. But I can give it, even though we are physically in Yerushalayim amidst people for whom it's a regular weekday. Right.
But Megillah and Suda.
We're going to come back to this Sugya in its own time. So let's. So the Gemara here says, the Rif here says, no, there's a different gear to the Gemara altogether. It's not mistaklim. They look to see what day is and it's going to confuse them. According to Rashi and our Gemara, it's going to confuse them about what day to celebrate
Pesach.
According to the Rif here, it's going to confuse them or it's going to cause the mistaklimbo their... what do we say? Le'enenu l'chatluyot. Right, that it's going to cause them anger. When we say looking forward to Purim, what do we mean? They're going to be looking forward to Megillah Day, assuming Megillah Day means payday, and it's not going to come. Now, maybe this is because this is how we got off track here. Maybe it means that the villagers would come to the big city. The big city does on a year when Purim falls out Monafshoch on a Sheni or Chamishi. So anyway, the villagers would come into town and they would hear the Megillah on real Purim on the same day and everybody would do all the mitzvahs together on the same day. And those poor villagers, it was a lucky day. Why?
Because
B'nai Ha'ir are looking for Aniyim to give tzedakah to. So on a year that Purim would fall out on the Sheni of HaChamishi and the poor villagers would come from out of town, they would get more Matanot Levyonim than they would on a year when they lain early. And this would cause, they would remember, last year we made a killing. And this year, they were so stingy, they didn't give. No, they didn't give because it wasn't Purim for them. They didn't have this chiyuv of Matanot Levyonim. Right? So maybe that Agmas Nefesh is what caused them to say, you know, it's better to get rid of the whole thing. But then the Rif says, no. It's not mistaklim. They're looking forward to Purim or they're looking to count to Pesach. Mistaknin. Ho'il u mistaknin ba. Maybe they are endangering themselves. Sakana. Klomar, ba'oto ha'et shehayu Yisrael ma'amidin datehen, ve'ein bo'in l'dei sakana. In the old days, when the Jews could do the mitzvahs, b'yad rama, that's the wrong expression, b'resh galei,
that's a talking for yad rama.
That we could do the mitzvahs without being embarrassed, we wouldn't have to hide, we wouldn't have to worry, we didn't fear the goyim or the cossacks or the whomever coming in and beating us up if we tried to do mitzvahs. Like in the days when we used to light the menorah outside and not fear that those goyim are going to come and blow it out or steal our candles. So then that'd be one thing. We could celebrate. We could have Purim could last 5 days. But nowadays, in those days they would lay in on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. Aval bizman hazeh shemistaknin Yisrael bidatehen. But nowadays that we're a little endangered by celebrating our religion publicly, ein kornote ela bizmana shein arbaaseh v'chamesh aseh v'chein hilchasa. Why? Well, to keep it kind of central. It would be dangerous for these villagers to go back and forth. You know, you can imagine like a pack of villagers, you know, wearing those funny hats like we do on Purim. You ever see what goes on the street? You ever see, you know, our friend Herbst on Purim? Like, could you imagine, like, Yitzchak Herbst was built for Eretz Yisrael. Right? Could you imagine a guy doing what he does, you know, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the middle of some little Ukrainian village?
I think Elchanan Salman gave a share once in Zairan about this, about how, look, we think that Purim is, you know, this happy day, but for you know, the entire time of Galut, it was like incredibly sad. It was not a. It was you drank. One of the reasons you drank so much is because you were really. It was like
you were drowning your sorrows.
Really, because you ended up like having. You know, this wasn't a chag like something dramatically changed. You went back to your everyday reality of Haman chasing you like it had been the whole time. So it wasn't like you felt like, you know, why? What are we? You had to sort of like make. You had to really break out of the idea that something was different before, because you didn't feel it on any level.
Manian. So the Rif says, no, that was the reason. Because in other words, if the villagers were celebrating Purim kind of like on these odd days, and they'd have to be traveling back and forth, and etc., it would stir up the wrath of the Goyim. And therefore, in order to protect them, we're not going to cancel Purim, but we tried to make it so that it was... Now, there's a lot of questions on these possible answers. So look at the Balamor here. In order to do that, I need a new set of eyes. So from the beginning, the Balamor. Chachamim omrim bizman hazeh ho'ilu mistaklin ba'ein korinota ela bizmana katav harif v'zeh lashono klamar ha'oel v'neihem shel aniyim v'chulei le'meot purim ein korinota ela bizmana. So the first answer of the first explanation of the riff, that it's about the poor people, that the poor people were feeling gypped out, so then we had to, you know, fix it so that they had Purim on the same day that we have Purim, so that they would get what was coming to them. V'kashilan al hadin perushaha damrin on the common begamara hoil va'amru kfarim makdimim liyom aknisa govim bo biyom u'mechalkin bo biyom bibnei she'enehem shel aniyim nisuot lemikra migila. But the Gemara says later that in Ochinami, they would do matanot levyonim. In other words, if Chazal can make it that you could read the Megillah on the wrong day, quote unquote, why not do matanot levyonim on the same day? And it solved the problem, keep the convenience for the aniyim to be able to lay on the other day. Wait a second. Keep the convenience for the aniyim on the day before, and then also give them the matanot levyonim on that day, so that they shouldn't have to wait. Which is, by the way, what we do on Purim Mishulash. Because we don't want to, it's always better to be makdim tztaka instead of pushing, like they do with the kitzvot yeladim. You know, like if the day for the Kitzvot Yeladim comes out on a Yontif or something, they're always Makdim.
But how would it work technically? Because again, the people from the Bnei Ir who would be giving to these Kfarim wouldn't be giving on those days in any case because it wasn't born for them.
No, right, so in other words,
no, but they wouldn't be given. You wouldn't, but they wouldn't. How many
in other words, in other words, not obviously, not all of the villagers were aniyim. In other words, they would some give amongst each other.
And not all the aniyim came from the villages.
That's interesting. Does he mean that the local aniyim that would all cases they would get matanot levyanim early also? That I don't know. That's interesting case.
They get twice.
Govin Bobi Yom and Chalakim Bobi Yom. Mipnei she'en ayim shel aniyim nisuot lemikra megillah. V'ra'iti leRavah b'Efraim Zal sheperish lefarig leperik zu hakushya. The farig zu hakushya to solve this problem. V'amar bezman hazeh sheYisrael miusarin bedikduke aniyut. Nowadays the Jews are oppressed with poverty. Iyahavinan luhu matanot biyudalef biyudbet yudgimel hazli vaachli luhu biyoma hahu b'simchat Purim einan noheget ele bizmana. What's the point of the matanot levyonim? So they should be able to provide. Essentially, they should be able to provide for their suda. So enachinami, but now it's even. So we could solve it. We could say, give the matanot levyonim on the 11th, on the day they read the Megillah. But what would they do? They'd spend it that day. And then Purim, right? You're going to expect them to put it in the bank until for 3 days until Purim? They're going to be hungry on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Right? So anyway, it doesn't solve the problem. So that's why they got rid of the whole Takana, because there was no way around it. You could move the Kriyat HaMegillah, and then you'd have to move the Matanot Levyonim. If you move the Matanot Levyonim, then you're undermining the whole purpose of the Matanot Levyonim.
Technically, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. If you tell me that you have the villagers and they're coming to market, the market is on Monday and Thursday, and you have a big feast coming up, it's not like you can run out, and I live in the village, it's not like I can run out to the local store in the corner. I have to wait till market day, go to market day, and buy all the things I want. So, kal vachomer, if I'm already in the market, give me the tzedakah now, I'll buy the things I need. And hopefully my wife will be smart enough to put it aside because she knows we need a big suit on Thursday.
Maybe.
I'm going to say even without, let's say you do have a local uncle, you get the money whenever you get the money, like if you read the Megillah early, so you give the money early, and then on Purim you buy whatever you need, like whenever you buy it.
I think you're saying that the poverty was so extreme that
they would eat it when they got it.
But, so then the Balamor says, So then the Balamor says, "Uvatlala simcha." And so then all the simcha would be cancelled out because they would eat what they had; they wouldn't have any poor. V'iyamad likru b'yud aleph, v'lo lehavlu midei ad yom yud dalid v'ted vav. So any kind of go back to the original idea. Let them lay on the 11th and give them the matanot levyonim on the 14th or the 15th. Kevan dechaze aniyam dekri megillah v'lo yahavlu midei miyai esh v'ozilu. So they'd be so downtrodden. They'd see, oh, we read the Megillah, we got no tzedakah, we got no matanot levyonim. They're not going to come. V'kabot la'mitzvot Purim, mahani dekroy. V'yud aleph, v'yud bet, v'yud gimel. So it would cancel out the whole Purim. So they got rid of the takana of laning early, because what happened was instead of being a convenience for the kfarim, the b'nei kfarim, it became a whole oppression to them.
Can you just make an announcement?
Have the suda on the same day also.
The Reb Shlomo Zal Piresh Shizman Hazeh. She'ein Hashanam Ketikunam Ve'ein Shluchei Betin Yecholin Letzeit Kedarkan V'Yisrael Ein Anshruyin Alad Matan. Correct, Benny, this is, he quotes Rashi here. Ela Heim Mifuzarim L'chol Pe'al, to every corner. Ve'ein Ashluchim Magi'in L'rov HaMekomot. So they can't count. So then he brings Rashi's explanation with Shurunas. That's the Balamor. Now look at the Ravid. How much time do we have? We have 2 minutes. Look, where is this? I can't see that.
Okay.
I can't see a thing. Where is it?
I think it's like the second, the last and the second to last line on the right side. That's what you're looking for.
Anchoring. That one.
Okay, so the second to last line on the right. As ein korin ve'ein mechalkin ela biyudalar v'tetvav she'ein einayim v'chulei. He's quoting the Baal HaMor. V'hachi perusha b'zman hazeh she'notnim she'notnim muatim. Very few people are giving. V'ani'im merubin, and many people are needing, many people are wanting. V'matanot muatot k'she'ein korin ota b'zmanah. מחלקים בו ביום אין שמחה אין שמחת היום עליכם ומתנותיהם מועטות ואין עיניכם של עניים תלויות למתנות יפות אלא ביודע ותדפוף. So they grow accustomed to knowing that they're going to get what they need on the 14th and 15th themselves. לפיכך אין קוראים אותה אלא בזמנה וזה העניין קרוב לפירוש הרב רבי אפרים, which was quoted by the Baal HaMor ורבי יצחק זל ובחיי ראשי. But I disagree with this. Ze hatam tov yafe mitam hatz. So we'll stop here. We'll finish it. We'll pick up right here and then we'll go back to the Gemara.